Now they got two Shaqs.
Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, presents the Ira Kaufman Podcast, 61 plus years, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bill Curry Ford is a Tampa tradition. They do so much in the community, and General Manager Sean Sullivan will do so much for you with the Ira Kaufman discount. He wants to help you personally. Find Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Buccaneers fans, the craziness continues. The free agency frenzy rolls on. The Tom Brady excitement won't go away, and nor should it. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The sage of Tampa Bay sports is in the house. He's back from Vegas. He's not Elvis. He's the king of Newport Richie. He's the baron of Big Storm Beer. Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Lee DeCamper is here. Sage, we are fired up to talk more about what's been going on in the world of the Bucks. We're going to try to be a little organized. The last podcast, if you missed it, it's there. It's out on all the platforms. It's at JoeBucksFan.com. The Sage gives all kinds of angles and thoughts on Tom Brady's return. He's been talking to the power hitters at one buck. He's a busy man. Ira, are you back on the tennis court? And the big question is, how many pounds did you gain in Vegas?
Funny you asked that. I went to Publix the other day, Steve, to replenish the refrigerator, and I'm about at the same weight, which will be unrevealed on this podcast for reasons that are obvious. We're starting a diet next week, starting a diet. I capped a beautiful week at the Bellagio, courtesy of Lee DeCamper, with a unbelievable breakfast, going away breakfast. We each ordered this bagel thing with, they put a tower in front of you with the smoked salmon, the capers, the onions, and topped off with whitefish salad. Whitefish salad is bits you've never had it in your life, but I wanted to put some in a plastic bag and take it home with me on the airplane. It was fantastic. The Bellagio was fantastic. And then, of course, the Brady news was unbelievable. Steve, it's been 6 hours. Have the Bucks added another receiver yet? They only got 12. they're stacking them up like DeCamper with Bitcoin. I can't believe what's going on. They're getting A's from every analyst that is analyzing the free agent frenzy. The Bucks are the first team to get an A. And, gentlemen, I'll start the conversation this way, very simply. Never again do I want to hear any nonsense about the Bucks being in salary cap hell going into free agency when they didn't even have Brady at that point, and people saying the Bucks got no money to spend, they're not going to be able to re-sign the guys that they want to keep. And now they get Brady, and not only are they keeping the guys like Ryan Jensen and Godwin and others, but they're adding players like Russell Gage. Now look, they're not the only team, Lee, that restructures. Everybody restructures. But the Bucks, nobody does it better than the Bucks. Lee, this guy Greenberg, and I think he's got some sharp woman working with him in the personnel department. They're as good as it gets, Lee. Unbelievable.
Well, I'm going to bore people, Ira, with salary caps. That bores people. But I don't think I asked you on the previous podcast. Jenna Lane revealed that she was working out when she heard about Brady. What were you doing in Vegas when you heard about Brady, Ira?
Probably eating breakfast.
Eating breakfast? It happened at night, Ira.
My schedule gets all messed up when I travel west, Lee.
All right, Ira. All right, come on.
I can tell you, I was at the Aria Sportsbook watching Selection Sunday Bracket Show, and I saw it come across on Twitter. At first, my first inclination was to run to my room, and then common sense overcame me and said, write something real quick on your friggin' phone, then go to your room.
I was in the room. My wife had just gotten back from the first of two massage sessions, Isbitz, two. And she had just gotten back. She was telling me all about it, how this guy had his hands all over her. He had supple, strong hands. I didn't really want to hear about it. So I immediately started looking at my phone, and boom, the Brady news hit. And I know you guys were busy writing stories, but what you missed in that first hour after the Brady news was me hitting Twitter very, very hard. And the first one I did, which cracked a couple of people up, was, take a seat, Mr. Gabbert.
All right, Ira. All right, Ira. You're going in all kinds of directions, which is fantastic. We've got vintage Ira out of the gate here, which is just great. Yes, I've had whitefish Ira. I haven't had it in maybe 20 years, so maybe I have to go... Might have to go get some. It is fantastic. That is Jackie Davidson of the Bucks. A lot of people around the league peg her as a future general manager. Supposedly just another great contract person and analytics person as well. Sage, you touched on some stuff. You were talking about the receivers, which reminded me of all the great inventory at Bill Curry Ford. It's getting back. It's coming back to slightly back to normal. Not what it should be around the nation, but Bill Curry Ford is selling new vehicles. You can order one today with General Manager Sean Sullivan. Not only will he do it with no deposit, not only will he help you personally, not only can you do it online if you don't feel like getting out of your home, Sean's giving you some cash back as a special incentive. There's an ad at joebucksfan.com. You could just go to billcurryford.com. Every vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, nearly every single used vehicle and all the new vehicles come with their nationwide lifetime warranty. Fantastic. And of course, at Bill Curry Ford, A-plus service department. Sean told us, 50 master technicians and a great body shop. I've used it myself, Ira. Actually paid for someone to use it who I got into a little dust up with. You know how that goes, Ira. And great stuff going on at Bill Curry Ford. Reach out to Sean today. Of course, listen to his Best in Class podcast. He's the draft guru. We'll be talking to him some more soon. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Just go try a Bromosa. It's a tangerine IPA. It's their top seller. It's their top seller for a reason. And that's impressive because their beers are so incredible that they've actually got a far and away top seller. That's the Bromosa. Get it at a tap room. Ebor Tap Room is coming soon. See all the great beers at BigStormBrewery.com. You can get it in Publix, other fine stores. Big Storm Beer. That's Florida's best craft beer. Sage, let's go to the receiver. Let's do it. They signed Russell Gage, a speedster, a guy who's been pretty consistent, a guy who's been challenged in Atlanta because he's had to play the slot behind Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, but he's also had to step up as an outside guy. And of course, there are a lot of similarities in the offense that he's played in with Dirk Cutter to that of Bruce Arians. Not a tremendously different offense. A little different, of course, but not like night and day different. He's been successful in the division. Young guy, very quick. He doesn't have the straight line speed of a Scotty Miller, but a very quick guy, very shifty, good yak guy. He's not the blocker Chris Godwin is, but for him to be their number two as we wait for Chris Godwin to get healthy, and I hope he gets healthy by October 1st, ready to play. We'll talk more about the timelines later. But $10 million for Russell Gage. Antonio Brown must be throwing furniture somewhere.
One more point about Russell Gage, which I think might be the most important point of all. And I mentioned it to Lee the other day, and then I did a little more research to back it up. He's a Buck killer. He had some big games against the Bucks in 2020, the championship season. And he had a big, big game against the Bucks in a loss last season. Right in front of Bruce Arians, Todd Bowles, Jason Light, and the Glazers. He's had his best games against the Bucks. Now, say what you will, what that says about the Bucks secondary in the past few years.
Horrible.
But Gage has torched the Bucks the last couple of years. Remember, Julio Jones didn't play a lot against the Bucks. He's an old, vintage Buck killer. Gage assumed that role, so that counts. It leaves a mark in the memory of all concerned. When he was available, the Bucks pounced. And Lee, then they signed Godwin. Lee, I believe he has the same agent as Mike Williams from the Chargers, and their contracts apparently are the same. How does that happen? Godwin is much better than Mike Williams. Mike Williams is okay. He's pretty good. Godwin, I think, is on the cusp of being elite and gets the same money as Mike Williams. I mean, that's a huge win for the Bucks, Lee.
Well, you got to factor in the knee. The knee dragged down his salary a little bit. I'm not like Bruce Arians where I say I'm shocked at everything. I'm shocked that Godwin signed a contract. I thought surely he had set himself up, what they call betting on yourself, that yep. He was going to hit the market next year, maybe make $23 million a year. I was shocked that he signed a three-year contract. I thought he had played this perfectly, him and his agent. And when I saw that last night that he signed, I did a double take. Like, holy smokes. And the only thing I could think of, that's the power of Brady.
Steve, if it's the power of Brady, maybe it's implying that Brady's going to play beyond 2022. And, you know, Steve, it's not a long shot. I mean, if the Bucs have a successful season and Brady remains healthy, we're going to go through the same charade next year.
Sage, yeah, the Godwin thing, I don't know. I think maybe I lose touch with the stratosphere that these guys play in. You know, it all looks interesting on paper, but I don't know. If I'm Chris Godwin and the Bucs say, hey, here's $40 million guaranteed, or you can play for $19 on the franchise tag, I don't know. I take the guaranteed money and worry about the rest later. That's just me. I mean, he basically would be gambling away $21 million if he didn't take this deal. So I'm not too surprised.
Lee, I guess if you're looking from Godwin's perspective, he might be betting on himself in terms of Lee, I think he'll only be 29 when this deal ends up, and then he could hit free agency in what supposedly would be his prime years. But you never know what could happen on the injury front until then. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, maybe he can pull out another knee again. I don't know. But I thought him and his agent set that up perfectly for him to bet on himself and hit the market again next year. I was really, really stunned.
It's all good for Bucks fans, Sage, because he obviously wanted to stay, and why wouldn't he? And like Lee said, you can't underestimate the knee situation. You know, right. Rather than test the market with the knee, and yeah, of course, his agent is calling around. You know, he just said, "What the hell? Let's do a few more years." And the Bucks can always. Maybe they told him even. Maybe they said, "Hey, if we get to a third year, you did us a favor. We'll restructure. We'll get you some more money. Maybe. You never know."
And of course, Steve, we're waiting because it's not going to be long. It won't be long. Famous Beatles song. Before Gronk gets out of the barbershop, we saw that video yesterday, and reports to One Buck Place. When the veterans come back, Lee, it's just a matter of time. He's not going to Buffalo. He's not going to Pittsburgh. If he plays, it's going to be right here in Tampa. You can imagine the conversations that have taken place over the last few weeks, because I think Brady knew a couple of weeks ago that he was leaning in this direction. My information was he was discussing the matter with the Buccaneers, what the plans were in free agency. When he heard what he wanted to hear, he came back. And, of course, Gronk's on his way, Steve. It's only a matter of time.
What's interesting to me about Gronk is I think the telltale sign, you know, forget the barbershop or whatever. Telltale sign is his girlfriend's a budding Hollywood star as far as a game show host. She's doing all kinds of Hollywood projects. But her and Gronk, specifically Gronk, they've stayed in Tampa. If he was leaning toward retirement, him and his girlfriend would probably be living in California already. Because otherwise she wouldn't have to bounce back and forth between Tampa and Los Angeles, or, you know, she's from Boston and Los Angeles. And they're still in Tampa. They're sort of ingrained in the community. You know, I think it says a lot about him. He walks into a barbershop off the street when he could probably hire someone to come in and cut his hair, you know, and show up at his condo. And, you know, he's at the Strawberry Festival. He's doing this. He's doing that. Every once in a while on social media, you see him at a courtyard of a bar in South Tampa. I think that's the sign that he's going to stick around.
The funny part, Ira, about the barbershop, if you really scrutinize the video, and you can find it on joebucksfan.com, of course, on Twitter, whatever, Gronk can barely fit through the door. When he's leaving and he's standing, yeah. he can't fit through the door opening. It's kind of funny. Sage, the Bucks make a trade for Shaq Mason, right guard of the Patriots. Instantly reminded me of 2014. Bucks traded for Logan Mankins. He had a little trouble adjusting, and then a year later, he's back to his Pro Bowl form. Got made the Pro Bowl and then retired. But Mason has got a lot of mileage on him. He's obviously got a couple of Super Bowl rings. He obviously comes Tom Brady approved, as does everybody else on this offense. We'll talk about that. And so here he is for $9 million. That's what he's earning. You know, and he's signed for another year. So tell me what you think about that, Ira, that they're paying that right guard some excellent money. And Godwin, Gage, Mason, they're all signed for 2 years. It's like every move that they're making is designed for Tom Brady to play in 2023.
Not a coincidence, Steve. And of course, Brady was the guy that mentioned he played until the age of 45 when he joined the Bucs. And so that would, you know, count the 2022 season. But you know, he's still having fun, still loves football. A couple of quick things, Steve. You know, one more on the Brady factor. 1 week he's talking about a project with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And the next week he's a Buccaneer. He must have looked at the script, Lee. He must have took one look at the script and said, "To hell with it."
Took a look at his co-stars.
To talk about now they got two Shaqs on one team, gentlemen. Steve, my initial reaction, I was very puzzled because if Belichick had made the decision, all right, we're going to move on from this guy. And, you know, Belichick does things like that, you know, and Shaq Mason wasn't the first. And he's not going to be the last guy that you look at and say, geez, this guy's still got a lot of football left. Why is Belichick moving on from him? He does it all the time, Steve. But my question and, what really puzzled me was nobody made you a better offer than the Bucs did. Nobody? You offer him up to 31 teams? This is the best you can get for the guy? Fifth round pick? That puzzled me, Steve. I don't want to get into Pro Football Focus. I'm not a fan. I don't care that they ranked him as the fifth. I believe they ranked him as better than Ali Marpet. So I don't want to hear it, Steve. I don't want to hear it. He's not going to be as good as Ali Marpet. I'm sorry. I know he's playing the right side and Marpet played the left side. I think they got him plugged in on the right side. But we'll see. Steve, nothing says he can't play next to Donovan Smith. But I think he's a solid pickup, certainly the equal of Kappa, if not better, not younger. But it was an excellent pickup for the compensation, Steve. Fifth-round pick. I mean, who cares? That's like getting a guy for nothing.
That's kind of a red flag to me, too. It's like, I don't know, red flag may be overstating it, but you only get a fifth-round pick for a guy, and my antenna is up. Like, okay. What's wrong with him? I don't go by the Pro Football Frauds. If people only understood how much they're mocked and laughed at and cussed out by NFL people, they would never spend a nickel on him. They would never pay any attention to their dumbass grades. There's a guy out there, because no one else does it, he's sort of is a self-anointed, if expert is the right word, but guru offensive line guy. I know he's from Pinellas County because he's mentioned it before. This guy is like Shaq Mason a year ago when he graded out guys. He had Shaq Mason as his fifth best right guard, not left guard, right guard. But he was really big on Ali Marpet and Ryan Jensen too. So he's a good player, and it's probably an upgrade from Alex Kappa, and that's nothing against Alex Kappa. He's just a good player.
Sage, I do the old-fashioned way. I go see what the Patriots fans are saying, and they weren't happy about it. So that's good enough for me. Pretty savvy fan base. As far as getting swindled, I don't know. I mean, usually these guys with a big contract, relatively big contract like this was, they're not going to command a lot if they're sort of on the wrong side of their career. He's played a lot of games. He's played like 13 playoff games on top of that. And like I said, the Bucs gave up a fourth string tight end and a fourth round pick for Logan Mankins, who was a true superstar. So, what would you ask for Mason? I guess that part of this, I would think, just speculating, is that Belichick and Light have a great relationship. They've obviously made a lot of deals. And right. Belichick didn't want to send him in the AFC. So off you go to Tampa.
Steve, the guy that I'm focused in on right now is Fournette, because they've done a lot of great work on the offensive side of the ball. I'm assuming Gronkowski comes back. They've addressed some of their O-line issues, certainly addressed receiver. Fournette, I think without the Brady news, I think Fournette would be gone. I didn't think he was coming back. Lee, am I off base there? And now Fournette, I think, is having second thoughts about testing free agency. And kind of like Gronkowski, I expect an announcement from Fournette in the next week or two.
Fournette was gone. He basically had his farewell message out on Instagram. I'm glad. I'm starting to get in the habit of screenshotting everything these players put out, because they always take it down a couple of minutes after they put it out. So I'm glad I got a screenshot of it. No one else had it. He was gone. There was rumors that he was going to go for the Chargers, and what a pickup that would have been for Los Angeles. If they would have got playoff Lenny with Justin Herbert, holy cow.
Sage, what do you think of this? Lenny obviously deserves to get paid. He's not a guy hurting for money as a former first-round pick. He's made a lot of money in the league. He's still young. What do you think goes through Lenny's head when he sees, hey, you just gave Russell Gage, an outsider who's never been in a playoff game, you just gave him $10 million, and you're not going to pay Lenny market value? Do you think Lenny looks at that and says, hey, man, what are you doing?
I think Fournette wants to get paid, Steve. I think he deserves to get paid. You mentioned he's young. He's in his prime. He's healthy. And he's productive. Made huge strides last year as a versatile two-way player, a three-down back. Look, if the Bucs are not going to step up, which I think they will at this point, I think it's the old, we'll do what we got to do to bring Fournette back. We got Brady. We're not going with Keyshawn Vaughn with Brady. We want Fournette back. They got to pay him, Steve, because, you know, he might take a little bit less. I mean, a little bit. But if the gap is wide between what he can get in the open marketplace and what the Bucs are willing to give him, I think Fournette's going to leave. So I think the Bucs have to make a credible offer to Fournette to secure him, and with of course, Brady in mind, because, you know, I'm not saying Brady's running the show, but he's consulted every step of the way, certainly on offense. And I wouldn't be surprised, Lee, if Brady's throwing out a couple of opinions on the defensive side of the ball, which we haven't really talked about, because the remaining focus has to be on the defensive line. Has to be.
Well, I think they'll draft a tackle. I've always felt that. There was a comment on Joe Buck's fan, and he was whining, oh, they got to find someone to replace JPP. And I'm like, replace him with what? He was a non-factor last year. And I love JPP. You guys know that. I love JPP. But let's be honest here. He was a non-factor because of that injury last year. He was a nothing. And the Bucs were, quote-unquote, this close to getting back to a Super Bowl. And JPP was basically just a stiff. And I hate to say that because he's such an awesome player and has such a great heart. But, you know, replacing JPP, what are we talking about? Sackless Kyle Moore?
He was still fairly effective against the run, Lee.
He's very good against the run. You're right. But, you know, well, most of the time when people talk about JPP, they're talking about his pass rushing.
Right.
Well, that was absent last year. Just wasn't there.
Sage, we've got to dive into this a little bit deeper here. They are going to run out of money at some point. I mean, they're doing a masterful job. That's how you started the podcast. But there is a limit. Yeah, there is a limit. And I think the X factor here that we don't know at this time of recording is what's Tom Brady going to do? I mean, he's only on the books with the way they sort of cooked the books last year. Brady's only due to get $10 million in cash this year. And and there was a report. Lee wrote it up. It wasn't even much of a report. I didn't see it anywhere else, but we had it at Joe Bucks Fan. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network wrote this up, and it came out, I want to say it was right after the Super Bowl. He basically said, hey, you know, very good, sort of said, hey, good chance that Brady's just looking for more money, you know, because if he plays, this is what his actual net return would be. And I didn't necessarily believe that, but it's something worth thinking about. And here we are. So the only way to get Brady more money is without it killing your salary cap is to extend his contract, because you can't like just add to his contract this year and not have it count against the cap later. Difficult to do anyway, is the point. So my question is Brady going to play for less? Is he going to say, hey, look, I'm just going to give you a gift here so we can win the Super Bowl? Or is he going to say, you know, give me a multi-year contract. We'll kick that can down the road. And if I retire, you'll just give me my money anyway, right, Mr. Glazer? And, you know, I don't know. What do you think is going to happen with Brady?
Steve, you know the answer to your own question, Steve.
No, I don't. No, I don't, Ira. I don't know the answer. That's why I'm asking you. Aaron Rodgers is making $50 million a year. Tom Brady's going to want some money here.
Steve, come on. We're not naive here. The man just got the Glazers a Super Bowl. The man just got the Glazers into the second round of the NFL playoffs. This was an irrelevant team for a dozen years. Irrelevant. You called it the Denon Depression. Nobody cared. No primetime games. No attendance. By saying that, I'm leading up to something very simple. Whatever Brady wants, he's going to get. However he wants to structure it, he's going to get. The Glazers aren't going to say, no, you want a 3-year deal? You want a 4-year deal? Whatever it is, Mr. DeKemper, they're going to give to Brady, however he wants to structure. You want money now? You want money later? I think they draw the line at a piece of the team. That's the red line. He ain't getting a piece of the team. That's where that ends. But short of that, Lee, whatever Brady wants, he's going to get. There's not any question in the world about this.
Well, before I get going here to respond to you, Ira, I just saw on Twitter Mike Evans restructured his contract. So there's some more money coming. I'm going to go conspiracy theory here. I've read this two or three times that when Brady was up in New England, you know, he was grossly underpaid compared to his colleagues at quarterback in the NFL. And there was always a sense that Bob Kraft had some kind of business dealing worked out with Brady where it would, you know, under the table, it would not show up in the NFL books, whether it's a piece of this or a piece of that, or he would bankroll Brady in some venture, whatever. Well, Brady was with the Glazers in England at their soccer team. In the last podcast, Ira, you said that was no coincidence. Could that have been, hey, Tom, we'll do this for you, we'll do that for you, not Bucks related, and that was part of the deal to get him back?
I wouldn't be shocked, Lee. And Steve, to your main point about Brady, Steve, unless there's something to this that I don't know about, he did not come back for financial reasons, Steve. And you know that. He didn't come back because he's hurting for money. He came back because he misses it. He misses it already. You know, look, I'm not saying the guy wants to short himself against all the great quarterbacks in the world and financially, but money was not the driving factor, Lee. Am I wrong about that for Brady's return?
No.
No, it's not the driving factor. Like his father said on the Greeny podcast, he's a football player to the soles of his shoes. He loves every aspect of the game, practice, all the dirty work. He just loves it so much. And that's obviously the underlying thing here. Nobody would do what Brady's doing without just an incredible passion. But I agree with Lee. I mean, some of this is about money. I don't know. I'm just not naive enough to think it's not about money at all, Ira. It's got to be a little bit. I mean, look, I'm on the TB12 website right now. Okay. They sell a nice big water bottle. It's called the Big Tom because Tom Brady drinks at least 200 ounces of water on a day. And so he needs a big water bottle to keep up with him. And this thing is $65, Ira. It's a fantastic looking, stainless steel. It's just unbelievable, this water jug. So, you know, it's $65. Can't the Glazers just say, hey, Tom, you know, we're going to order a million of those and we'll pass them out in Guatemala. You know,
absolutely. And Lee, I think I saw the same thing at the Bellagio last week. It was 130. So,
well, the Glazers probably told Brady they would buy his clothes if he comes back.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve, you agree with Steve? Do you agree with me that as far as a piece of the team, I don't think the Glazers are willing to go that far.
No.
They don't have to. Why would you give up a piece of the team when you can just use a brown bag, you know, and give them some cash? I don't know. I mean, those kinds of truths we'll never find out, Ira. But it is amazing how they are bringing back the offense, and I do think they are going to have to pay Fournette. And there is some sort of line in the sand there, but I don't know. I don't know what Fournette is thinking when he's seeing these other guys getting paid. They still have to pay Gronk. And I don't think they can do much more on the defensive side of the ball, Ira, because they're just out of cash. I mean, they let Jordan Whitehead go. Rondé Barber, as we talked about here, Rondé Barber said that his film review shows that Whitehead might be the best defensive player on the team. Pound for pound, you know, job for job. And there he goes to the Jets for $15 million over 2 years. That's a huge payday for a safety who isn't a Pro Bowler. You know, they've yet to re-sign Will Golston. He's on the market now, which that's dangerous when you start messing with the trenches and you're going to lose capable, versatile bodies. Ndamukong Suh, who knows what he's really doing, but every year he's kind of shopped the market and then come back to the Bucks. At some point, you do run out of money, Ira. And a great way to make sure you don't run out of even more money is by calling Florida's Elite Restoration when you have a disaster in your home or in your business. Smart business owners, property managers, plumbers, air conditioning contractors, builders, they know that if they have a flood on site, they reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration to come out and give a free assessment of what's happening. Florida's Elite Restoration knows how to work directly with insurance companies because owner Josh Martin was in the insurance business for well over a decade dealing with claims, and he knows the other side of it and knows how to make sure that you and your company and your clients do not get ripped off. It is so important when you have a disaster like a flood or mold or fire, wind damage, storm damage. Florida's Elite Restoration is the superstar. They are the top free agent in the Tampa Bay area, family-owned business. Just reach out to Josh Martin. He will tell you all about what he can offer your business to take care of your clients. And homeowners, of course, can call Florida's Elite Restoration anytime, 24/7. That's your first phone call if you have a disaster. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Check them out there. You'll learn all about their services, and you'll have somebody honest ready for you when you have that time of need.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Now, Sage, let's get back to these losses on defense and the fact that they're squeezing the defense after taking care of the offense.
The Whitehead move was a concern, Lee, because he's an ascending player. I think he was the best defensive back on this team for the second half of last season, including the playoffs. I do. He's healthy. He's a thumper. But, Lee, he's physical, but he's smart, and he doesn't get called for a lot of these penalties that big thumpers of the past, you know, couldn't play in today's system. He manages to do it. He makes his physical presence felt. He's not a great ball hawk, but he's improved in that area. That was a tough one. You know, Kappa, I'm not going to lose any sleep. Nice player, tough, physical. But the Whitehead one hurts a little bit. We'll see. This is Mike Edwards' chance to shine next to Winfield. We shall see. You know, Edwards has made his presence felt, Lee.
He's a ball hawk.
The only prediction I got right last year at the Kemper was saying that Whitehead was saying that Edwards would lead the Bucks in interception. Somehow I did get that one right in his limited playing time. But Lee, this defense overall, I think it's a cause of concern, even with Carlton Davis coming back. Look up front, Lee. They got Vea, Nunes, Roaches. But, you know, Vea's had some injury issues. He only plays 55% of the snaps. They don't have a lot around him up front. Unless they bring some of these guys back.
Ira, Anthony Nelson, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, come on.
I think you're going a little overboard there, Ira. And also, I do agree, and I've said it on this podcast, I'm willing to put money they're going to draft a defensive tackle at worst, the third round.
But, Lee, now you're counting on that guy to make an immediate contribution, a third rounder?
Let's forget the guy with the draft pick. It's not like we're talking about the old Bucks defense here, where it was complete and total sieve. You know, it's not that bad yet. You know, they had injury problems last year. I will say this about Whitehead, and this will lead me into something else, Ira, and I want your feedback on this something else. I was really, 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 it was hard for me to believe, hard for me to grasp, but the Bucks didn't even try to keep Jordan Whitehead. There were games last year where I thought this guy was playing like Ed Reed. He was all over the place. And they didn't even try. They didn't make an offer. They was like, bye-bye, wave you goodbye, you know, wave your hands goodbye. And I'm like, there might be something bubbling under the surface for the Bucks not even to try to keep him. They didn't even try. Like, hey, would you want to play on a cheap? We'll bring you back. And they didn't even go that far. And about 4 hours later, if that, and I give her credit because I don't know whose daughters are going out with who, Jenna Lane forwards a photo of Honey Badger, who I never knew was engaged to Todd Bowles' stepdaughter. And in this picture with Todd Bowles' two sons and his stepdaughter with Honey Badger somewhere in an Orlando amusement park. And I, the something just surfaced. I know that Matthew and Bruce Arians are very, very, very tight. Matthew told me to my face 3 years ago at the Super Bowl media night that he wanted to play for Arians and the Bucks, but the Bucks didn't have the money at the time. I'm wondering if Matthew was that something bubbling below the surface, that's why the Bucks didn't even try to bring back Whitehead.
Well, maybe, Lee, I think it's a stretch. He ain't going to come cheap. You're not getting Matthew for $4 million. And as a guy that watches the Chiefs very closely, Steve, I don't think he's the same player as he was 3 years ago. He's not 25 anymore. He's got wear and tear on him. It might happen, Steve, but at this point, I'd rather have Whitehead than Matthew. I would. They didn't make him an offer. Steve, you're throwing names out on the defensive line. I'll say this. If they don't bring back JPP, and I don't think they will, and if Sue leaves, which there's a decent chance, and we don't know about Golston, Steve, the run defense suddenly doesn't look very good. Well, and that's been the staple of Todd Bowles' defense wherever he's gone. And Vea only plays half the snaps. And now you're telling me you're going to rely on Trajan Cherenka to stop the run? I mean, it's a problem, Steve. It's going to be a problem.
Here's the thing real quick, Ira. Here's the thing real quick. If Sue leaves, interchangeable, Sue leaves or Golston leaves, that starts the dominoes. If Sue leaves, the Bucs lock up Golston almost immediately and vice versa. If Golston leaves, Sue's locked up almost right away. And I said, you have Vea, you have Roaches. They'll go out and draft the guy. I know. You hope he maxes out. Yeah, there's always a danger. There's always a danger in a free agent, too. So I'm not jumping off the ledge here about the defensive line yet. Now, if you lose both Golston and Sue, then you start to worry a little bit. I get you there, but I'm not on the ledge yet.
Look, they still have Vea and Shaq, who people consider Pro Bowlers. They were in the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, you're starting right there. You've got... people will still argue that's the best pair of inside linebackers in the game. So, yes, on paper, the run defense falls off, but I don't think it falls off that far. You know, if we trust the development that we've talked about for years now of the players, well, Anthony Nelson's an ascending player. I think he had 5 sacks last year, and he plays the run well. Hopefully, Trajan Cherenka takes a step in the run defense. You know, they played... most of 2020 without Vita Vea. Nunez Roaches was fine against the run. So, I don't know. I'm not too worried, but they could still make plenty of moves. There's plenty of lower-level free agents out there that, you know, we could see. But here's one thing I wanted to run past you, Ira. We talked about Chandler Jones coming to the Bucs. Now he's with the Raiders. Huge pass rusher. We know Chandler Jones, very versatile. One of the all-time greats at forced fumbles, significantly more than Simeon Rice, who was known for that. And, you know, just a tremendous player on a Hall of Fame path. And he's getting paid $17 million in change for Chandler Jones. Maybe I'm crazy. We don't know what offers are really, really made in the back channels. I know the report's out that they never offered Jordan Whitehead anything. Do we really know that? I don't know. Maybe they insulted him with an offer, so he considered it no offer. I don't know. I never know what to believe. But I do know Chandler Jones is basically playing for the Raiders for very similar money to what Carlton Davis is making. And if I had to pick, I'd rather take the pass rusher. That surprised me a little bit. Yeah.
I have to think the Bucs had a real interest in Chandler Jones, Lee. You have to think that. I believe he's got a relationship with Arians. Steve's right. He's on a potential Hall of Fame arc and a real strong force coming off that right edge. And, of course, we don't expect JPP to be back. And having Chandler Jones would you know, give Joe Trajan another year of development without having necessarily being thrust into a more prominent role. I think the Bucs had serious intentions on pursuing Chandler Jones, but in the end, maybe he got priced out for the Bucs at that point. But I got to think they were in there making a pitch for Chandler Jones. As far as Carlton Davis, I was a little surprised. I thought he was gone. I thought he was gone.
The power of Brady.
You know, the power of Brady. That's right. The power of Brady even extends on the other side of the ball. You can't overestimate it. And you know, we don't have to speculate, Lee. Carlton Davis said as much. He looked in the camera and said exactly what was on his mind in terms of coming back to the Buccaneers.
Well, I'm almost as much of a freak. Almost as much of a freak about the Bucs as Sean Sullivan. I mean, even when Sean's working, he's talking Bucs and trying to figure out how to get players. Although Sean is adept at doing that and still doing his job. I don't know if I could do that and still do another job. But on the flight to Vegas and while I'm in Vegas, the more I thought about losing Carlton Davis, the more I didn't like it. It just bothered me that a guy that was, you know, okay, he can't get picks. I get that, you know. If he could catch the ball, he'd be a damn receiver. But the way he covered guys, and he's only 25, to let that guy walk the every day in Vegas, that bothered me more and more and more. And so I was very happy to see he's with the Bucs still, and I'm happy to see that.
They made that happen. That's 2 years of guaranteed money. They're working that salary cap, Ira. It's impressive. Just to close out on the Chandler Jones thing, I was just so surprised he chose... You know, he's chasing sacks for the Hall of Fame. He chose to go to the AFC West where he's chasing Mahomes and Russell Wilson and Herbert, you know, that's not a great division if you're hunting sacks necessarily. I just found that interesting, Ira. But you know we'll try to find out if the Bucs were sniffing Jones and you know what their attack plan was as the weeks go on.
One thing to be noted about the Raiders, you know, overall their roster, it's got some weaknesses, especially on the defensive side. But Chandler Jones is looking at Max Crosby, Steve, who's an ascending player.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a better pass rusher at this stage than Shaq Barrett is coming off the left side. That's a formidable combination. And I think Crosby wouldn't shock me if he got 15 sacks next season. He's that good. He just got paid, just got taken care of. He's a heck of a player. And I think Jones realizes that they're not going to be able to double team Jones very often if you got Crosby coming off the other side.
Yeah, definitely an ascending player. I'm not sure I'd put him as better than Shaq, but he's right there, and you know, much younger. Max Crosby, and you know, fun guy, and yeah, they'll be terrorists out there to the quarterbacks.
Steve, one more quick point about the D-line. 6 months from now, 8 months from now, one thing we might say to each other, maybe if Mr. Sue doesn't return in a Buck uniform, and I've said it on this podcast, Steve, I think you share my sentiment. He's a better player and a better teammate than I thought he was when the Bucs got him. You know, he had a certain reputation. He bounces from team to team. The guy shows up every week, Ndamukong Suh. And it's hard to put a quantity on that, a value on it. He never misses a game. He gets his 5 or 6 sacks, and he's a stud against the run. Steve, if Sue doesn't come back, I think there's a good chance by the end of the year they're really going to miss him in the middle.
Good chance. You're right. It just depends who they replace him with. Yeah, certainly. I mean, he produced last year. It's just that simple. They still had a top run defense. He still found 6 sacks. He also plays limited time, and he's been a model of efficiency and production, good role model. So, you know, hopefully they can find a way to squeeze him in. It's just amazing how they're squeezing these guys in. But still, we sit here. We don't know what Brady's going to be earning, and they still got to pay Gronk. I mean, they got to find this money somehow, but it's happening slowly but surely. Sage, I got to mention at least a guy we've talked so much about over the years, and O.J. Howard is now with the Bills. Think about this, and I'm half patting myself on the back because I said there'd be a market for him because he's a first-round pick. These guys survive and survive and survive because people want to bet on the talent and the hope. Here he is, day one of free agency. He gets $3.5 million from Buffalo, a good football team. And there he goes. And that lets you know that he had other suitors if they were paying him $3.5 million, if they felt they had to give him that much. And he gets signed on day one. He had some other places to go.
You made a good point, Steve. That first round status, I mean, NFL history is littered with former first round picks that don't work out with the team that chose them. They go somewhere else, Lee, and they develop. It happens all the time. I don't think it's going to happen with O.J. Howard in Buffalo. Lee, they got a good tight end. That's why I didn't really understand the Gronk, the Buffalo thing. They got a good tight end. They are loaded. I mean, if I had to bet right now who's going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, I would pick the Bills. I mean, I think they're that talented. Dawson Knox, I think, is the guy, Steve, am I right, at tight end. He's a developing player. He was really good last year, especially late. So what I'm saying is, Lee, I don't think O.J. Howard's going to see the field very much. He's an insurance policy. But, you know, maybe he'll flower under Josh Allen. But if you don't show yourself, you know, with Tom Brady in limited opportunities, that doesn't say much for you. O.J. Howard, I think, is destined to go down as just a bad draft pick. Lights made his share, but he's also hit plenty of doubles and home runs. Lights, especially recently, much improved in his draft selections. And I think Howard's going to go down as a bad pick.
To be fair, it was the coach who wanted Howard so bad. This is one of my pet peeves of life. Best player available. Get the best player. No, you don't get the best player available. You think the Bucs are going to draft a quarterback in the first round? Give me a break. You don't draft the best player available unless you want to get fired. And this is a perfect example. Cameron Brate was coming off the best year of his career. He led the league in touchdowns in 2016. The Bucs had zero need for a tight end. They had an absolute glaring need for a running back or a pass rusher or even a cornerback. That was a grotesque luxury pick. It's one thing if Howard worked out. He didn't work out. He blew up in a bad way. And that was just that was a wasted draft pick. Personally, I'm all over the Dalvin Cook stuff. I'm all over. It's water under the bridge. The Bucs won a Super Bowl. The Vikings haven't. But Cook has turned out to be an excellent player. Howard's turned out to be an answer to a bar trivia question. Exhibit A, you never, unless you want to get fired, you never go best player available. That's like Chuck Knoll 1969 when you got 6 years to rebuild a team philosophy. Last I checked, that's ancient history. If you don't go and fill a need, you're begging to get fired. O.J. Howard's a perfect example of that.
Well, Sage, we're going to get you out of here. We still have more to talk about on free agency. There'll be some more movement and shaking soon here. And, of course, once we can catch our breath with free agency, really by the end of this week, I think we can start talking about where the Bucs may be headed in the draft, you know, which is sort of what Lee's talking about, where the needs now lie and where the direction and focus may be, especially with Tom Brady back in the mix. And we'll see if Deshaun Watson ends up in the NFC South. That could affect some urgency and some decision-making. Like you said, this year was all about winning the NFC South, even with Blaine Gabbert. But now we don't have to worry about that horror show potentially happening to us. I got one more question for you. One more Bucks thing that is important that we didn't touch on. First, Bill Curry Ford. Get there now. You can listen to Ira while you go to BillCurryFord.com and shop. BillCurryFord.com. And Big Storm Beer, that's your beer to enjoy this glorious Florida spring. Big Storm Beer. Just try it. Florida's best craft beer. They are fantastic. Follow them on social media. Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Odessa, Big Storm Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral. Big Storm Brewery is awesome. And Florida's EliteRestoration.com. You got to go there anytime you have a problem in your home. They are there for you 24/7. They'll come out, free assessment, right in your home, and let you know what the best next steps are, honestly. And that is the key. Ira, the Bucs brought back Breshad Perriman. Didn't want to let him test the free agent market, which is very interesting. You might have thought Perriman was a guy they'd say, well, hey, you know what? Nobody really wanted you last year. The Bears couldn't even get you on the field. And, you know, you can go sniff around before we bring you back. No. This tells me Tom Brady said, don't let Breshad test the market. Let's get him in here. You know, even if we got to give him a $500,000 signing bonus to get him in here, I want Breshad Perriman. This is a tremendous endorsement, I think, of Perriman that the Bucs sort of felt that they couldn't lose him. What do you think of that? What does that say about Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller? You got Gage. They're upbeat about Godwin. I mean, the receiving core now is crazy deep and experienced.
It is crazy deep. So somebody's got to go. I mean, somebody's got to go. I don't think, you know, Jason Light's in a hurry to imply that they made a mistake with Tyler Johnson, and I'm not saying they did. I'd like to see a little more of Tyler Johnson. Scotty Miller's had trouble staying healthy. You're right. The wide receiver core is incredibly deep. Perriman is just a guy when he's not a Buccaneer. When he's a Buccaneer, you know, he's productive, especially Lee, we remember down the stretch with Jameis Winston. He was fantastic that season. Go somewhere else, you never heard of the guy. And I think the Brady stamp, I think Steve's right about that. Certainly Brady had a big influence on what to do with Perriman. He likes the guy. He thinks he can work with the guy. And Lee, there's going to be some opportunities because we're not sure when Godwin's going to be back. If he's back September 10th, it's a huge win all the way around. But, you know, it might be early October, could be mid-late October. We don't know, Lee. I'm sure he's going to put the work in with rehab, but there's going to be opportunities alongside Mike Evans for some of these guys to shine. And Brady wants a guy, Brady gets the guy on offense, and that's just the way it is.
You know, I got to ask you this, Ira. You know, you and I just happened to be on the same flight. When we touched off from Tampa International, you know, Bucs fans were looking square in the face that Blaine Gabbert is a starting quarterback, no playoff Lenny, no Ryan Jensen, no Carlton Davis, no Ellie Marpet, no Alex Kappa, who knows who else would have been gone. We land, we return from Las Vegas, same flight again. We land in Tampa. Yesterday, you admitted you've been out the public, you've been amongst the public, you've been amongst Bucks fans. I have not yet. Have you sensed a buoyed enthusiasm from Bucks fans?
Oh, there's no question about it, Lee, because as I put it, and I got a nice belly laugh from you when I said it, we were peering into the abyss, Mr. DeKemper. And Steve, you know exactly what I mean with Blaine Gabbert. Doesn't mean they might not win 9 games with Gabbert, maybe. But to Lee's point, we take off, you know, last Thursday, and we come back Tuesday night, and everything has changed. Everything has changed. And not just the Brady return, which is, of course, the big one, but Steve, this guy, Mike Greenberg, you know, the guy that's capologist that they got, and with Jackie working alongside him very effectively. This Buck Brain Trust is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Look, they're not the only team that restructures veterans to squeeze out more money, but, you know, bringing everybody back a year ago when people said it can't happen and retaining most of their key guys, with all due respect to Whitehead, incredible. And they're not finished yet. Gronkowski's coming back. Hold the door open for him. We think Fournette's coming back. Hold the door open for him. It's unbelievable, Steve. Credit to the guys up front. Jason Light and his staff do have been doing a fantastic job.
And I credit the Glazers, Ira, because I forget who we mentioned a little bit earlier in the broadcast, but you know, right now it's as if, hey, money is no object. We're going to make it happen. We're going to work the cap. We sat here as Bucks fans, diehard Bucks fans, back in 2017, listening to Dirk Cutter and the organization essentially saying, we can't afford Calais Campbell. We don't have that money, kind of money laying around. You know what? You did. You weren't willing to manipulate the cap to deliver the best damn football team possible. And now we're witnessing this firsthand where the team's like, we'll make it happen. We don't care. You know, so it's in a mindset. It starts from the top. You know, in other years, we were sold, some BS that they were really trying hard. No, they weren't necessarily doing everything they could to build a winner. And now there's real urgency. They've seen the results. It's fun. They've set a new standard.
Ira, Steve made an outstanding point, which makes me ask you, Cutter saying they didn't have the money when it was nonsense on face value at the time. It's even more nonsense in retrospect. Could it be that the Glazer family, and you know them better than anybody in the media, could the Glazer family have not trusted Cutter and Light, therefore they wouldn't open up the wallet, whereas now they trust Light, they trust Arians, they trust Brady, they trust all these guys' player evaluations to go out and spend the money and get these guys? Was it simply as a trust factor?
That's a big reason. They've earned their trust, and as they should. They got that Vince Lombardi trophy to prove that they know what they're doing up front. And then there's the Brady factor, Lee, and we can never forget that. Steve's point is very well taken, and I'll speak for Buck Nation right now, and I don't think there's any question about it. If they got a so-called pay the piper in 3 years and start all over again, you know, with a young quarterback and all these contracts come due, so be it. So be it, Lee. I think I speak for you in that regard. You got Brady. You do what you got to do to maximize your chances to win another championship. And so be it for the future. And I wholeheartedly endorse that philosophy.
All right, Sage, your brilliance is unmatched. We will see you soon and enjoy your day. Bucks fans, you can subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, wherever. Get out of here, Ira.